This talk is given by a student at Ordinary Mind Zendo. In these talks, senior students explore their personal journeys, share their understanding of the Dharma, and offer encouragement to others in their practice. The talks are unique in that they present a diverse set of voices walking a common path.
The title of my talk is Taking a Look at Our Hungry Ghosts. We're a few days from the new year, a couple of days, really. All around us is language about starting the next year fresh, making resolutions for change, and creating goals about habits to kick in 2024 or new habits to adopt. This yearly practice of making commitments to confront the more ornery parts of ourselves, as well as the recent death of my nephew, has me thinking about the Buddhist festival of Oban, in which Sangha members bid farewell to the dearly departed and also confront their karmic connections with those who have left. During Oban, which occurs in mid-August, Sangha members are encouraged to bring photos of their loved ones to place on an unadorned altar so that there's no religious aspect that would bar a spirit from visiting the altar. There's no Buddha, there's nothing on the altar. The only other thing other than the photos is sugary treats, sweet treats like donuts, oranges, favorite foods. If it were my brother, who passed away several years ago, I would bring a big bowl of caramel corn. Not good for diabetes. If it was my nephew, it would be a steaming plate of hot and sour pork. Also, not good for someone suffering from diabetes, but it is what they loved, so I would give it to them. These foods are laid out in order to call on all of the spirits who are lost or troubled to come and enjoy the offering. Much like our December holidays, Oban is a time for the living to gather together with food, to celebrate with memories, and to honor the spirits of the past. The word for hungry ghost in Japanese is gaki, and segaki translates into feeding the hungry ghosts. Recently, our Sangha studied Kyogen Carlson's book, You Are Still Here. He describes hungry ghosts like this. Gakis are usually depicted as having long, skinny necks, with throats much too small for swallowing, and the bloated, bulging stomachs common with severe malnutrition. This imagery is a fantastic description of a spiritual state that can be seen every day, right here in the world of living women and men. It's the state of someone who desperately wants to know the truth, but who cannot accept the teaching. He knows he's suffering and that religious practice can be of help, but he just cannot stop resisting and holding on to his personal opinions. Wanting the Dharma, he goes to drink, but his throat will not open to accept it. Each time he tastes the teaching, it turns to fire in his mouth. Today, I'd like to shift the focus on this state of suffering a little, but stay focused among the living, and consider it through the lens of ghost stories. Since I was a child, I've had a fascination with the ghost story genre. tales told around campfires or watching scary movies in dimly lit rooms. I was regularly scared out of my wits from a very young age. The appeal of these stories, in part, seems to be the alternate reality that's created through these tales, in which the normal rules governing society and personal behavior have changed or have been suspended in some way. How often when watching a scary movie do we think, why would anyone do that? Why would she head upstairs instead of out the front door? Where is everyone in the town while this is going on? The lack of normalcy and just common sense feeds that creepy experience and leads us down the path of suspense. So, to connect these two ideas, let's consider how our hungry ghosts survive on a suspension of the quote-unquote rules of our lives. In order to answer that, we need to take a look at what the normal quote-unquote rules of our life are. What are the guidelines or guardrails which determine our usual way of seeing the world? Some of these rules may include the following. Life is so blank. Life is so hard. Life is so unfair. Life is so easy for some. Life is so difficult for me. Life is so exhausting. Life is so perfect. Life is so wonderful. The list is endless. Another rule could be, I would be happy if. Another could be, people think I'm blank. Other people have. And finally, one of my personal favorites, I need people to blank. Our own hungry ghosts take on a life of their own when they build a new narrative, one in which these roles may play out as the new reality. For example, we may have an argument with a family member, a friend, or a colleague. We may feel misunderstood, hurt, or taken advantage of. And as we move on from the interaction, some hungry ghosts may trail along behind us, ready to jump in and take over this narrative. It happens all the time, right? We're going along, living our life, feeling pretty good, or at least our regular sense of normal. When we cross paths with someone and wham, a new self, resentful, full of petty grievances, loud, with a detailed narrative about how that person has wronged us, pops up immediately. They are hungry and they are here and they are ready to present how life must be very different indeed. One of our rules has been broken and they are ready to tell the truth as they see it. Now, it can be really quite exhausting to be inhabited by one of these ghosts during Zazen, because like the ghost that can't consume the food on the altar, the story being carried is huge, demanding, and unable to be satisfied. In truth, the more we practice with these ghosts, the hungrier they seem to become. So what can we do? In Ovan, we offer the ghost something. We aim for applying skillful means by providing a small, sweet treat to entice roaming spirits to rest. So too, in our practice, we need to resist the urge to argue, to debate, or to push them away. Instead, we need to be a good host. welcome these ghosts to settle down, to tell us everything, and to rest for a while. Much can be learned by listening. What tales of woe, of misunderstanding, of underappreciation do we carry over and over into our relationships in the present? When we sit quietly and with curiosity, these ghosts shine a light clearly into our greatest desires, our deepest fears, and our shame-producing habits that some may call karma. When I get in an argument, or not even an argument, but some hungry ghosts seem to pop up out of misunderstandings in my life. When this happens, I can stew for days. I really want my voice to be heard, or else. If someone ignores me, I guess I look for reasons to not like them. My gossiping comes from a desire to be included. This is the stuff of wholehearted practice when we meet not what we want to see, but what is directly in front of us, moment by moment, as our life. Philip Bromberg and other relational psychologists have introduced the concept of self-states that we inhabit, recognizing these states as shifting and dependent on many factors. I wonder if he would consider these hungry ghosts as abandoned parts of ourselves that need to be integrated into the whole sense of self. Hungry ghosts are paradoxically a valuable part of the human condition. The desire to have things go differently, to be treated in a way that realigns with our curative fantasies, is an essential aspect of what it means to be human. They speak up for us when we are at a loss for words. They wield the sword of compassionate justice we may long for, offer us a new world in which we are witty, wise, and whimsical. The paradox is that when we meet them, however, we often want to run away just like the doomed cast of characters in those horror movies. So rather than creating some lofty resolution that hinges on the need for change in the new year, let's aim to get to know our hungry ghosts, to grow fascinated with the function they serve in our lives, and if nothing else, welcome them in with a donut.